Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We have no idea what we would do without him. He joins us weekly. The films, Honeyland, Them That Follow, and The Nightingale. That's an automatic sentence right there.
It sort of already is. Yep. And as for what you would do without me, you would probably not go to so many movies and you would probably go to better movies. But no, you would go to worse movies because you wouldn't have my infallible advice.
Yeah, here's the thing about your infallible advice. Sorry to interject, but I just heard clown reviewer trying to let people know what they thought because they thought it. And why you are invaluable to us is you tell us what the film is and then what you think about it based on the zillion 4,362 films that you've seen.
Well, I'll tell you, the question occasionally comes up over the life of a critic. Who gives you the right to say all these opinions? Nobody gives me the right. I just have it, and we all have it. And all I'm giving is my opinion. But the most important thing is I hope I impart some information about the movie along the way. I have often said, this is kind of my philosophy of being a movie reviewer, my opinion of it should be maybe the least important part. The most important part should be what you find out about the movie, so that at the end of what I have to say, you might say, I can tell he didn't like it, but I think I would. Or, I can tell he really liked that, but I can tell I wouldn't. And you have that feeling a lot, Jill, I think.
That is true.
I like something, but you know you wouldn't like it.
I'm not going. I will say at the end, it's like, yeah, that's great. I'm going to not go see that. I just happen to subscribe to that version of criticism. Because the point is to say, hey, this is XYZ, and hopefully I've made it interesting enough for you to either decide to see it or not, because you've got other things to do with your time if not.
Well, that is exactly the right idea. Everybody has other things to do with their time, except me. All I have to do with my time is go to movies and talk about them. Well, that's not exactly true. But maybe I should start talking about these movies so that eventually we're done with this this little segment. And I would like to talk about three movies today. The first one is called Honeyland, and it's a documentary. But it's a documentary that is so basically well-shaped and develops such a kind of dramatic momentum that it almost seems like a fiction film at times. Some parts of it are almost hard to believe, but it is all really, really true. And that doesn't mean that it's a movie where all kinds of things happen, because it's not. It's a very slowly unfolding film. But it takes place in a part of the world that most of us are not likely to spend a lot of time in, and it deals with a way of life which most of us are likely never to really experience. The movie takes place in what is now called either the Republic of Macedonia or North Macedonia. And the main people in the movie, again, it's a documentary, are Turkish speakers. And it deals with a woman who is a beekeeper. That is where the title Honeyland comes from. She is a beekeeper, and we see a whole lot of her keeping her bees. She's an old woman. She's not actually an old woman. She's a middle-aged woman. She seems kind of old because she lives a very rough way of life. But there is a really old woman in the story, who is her mother, who lives with her, and her name is Hatice, and her mother is Nafize, who lives with her, and she is really, really old and in pretty bad health. And we see Hatice not only taking care of her bees, but also taking care of her mother. And again, we just get a really, really vivid documentary picture of what it's like to live this sort of life in this part of the world. And the big drama, it's not a big drama, but the drama of the movie kind of begins when some new people move in right nearby, another beekeeper, a family, and they live in a trailer. Hatice lives in sort of a hut. But these people live in a trailer. They're a little bit more modern, a little bit more up-to-date. And the head of this household, whose name is Hussein, and he has a wife and children, and their big plan is to now live in this area and to not only keep bees, but also to keep cattle, to herd cows. So they have a little more diversified operation. And what gradually happens is, even though the relations between the long-standing residents, Hatice and her mother, and these newcomers, the relations start out good, but pretty soon they kind of start to go downhill when it turns out that this new guy, this newcomer to the area, Hossein, is kind of a bull in a china shop, so to speak, and he causes some trouble, and he is definitely a competitor with Hatice. And again, relations sort of go downhill, and a couple of pretty dramatic things happen over the course of the movie. The filmmakers, and I haven't given their names, but it was made by a couple of filmmakers named Tamara Kotevska and Lyudmila Stefanov. They spent years, literally years, in this area, and they shot hundreds of hours of material, which were then edited into this film, which is really less than an hour and a half long. And again, if you want to just feel like you have spent some time in this particular part of the world, North Macedonia, and seen a way of life in great detail, which you probably have not seen before, then this is a really good movie to see. There are so many documentaries nowadays, many more than used to be in older times, that get shown because there are so many, first of all, on the internet and on the various cable TV outlets and streaming outlets and so forth, but also in movie theaters. I saw this one in a movie theater. And it's wonderful that these documentaries are out there and competing with all the Hollywood blockbusters. And Honeyland is the kind of film, I don't find it's a great film. The material could have been made a little bit more sort of continually interesting to watch, but it is so vivid and you feel that you get to know these people. And it's just a very, very interesting, worthwhile film. And I am just glad that it is out there. Honeyland, I really do recommend it. Second film for today, our second two films are both, not only are they fiction films, but they are both harrowing fiction films in very different ways. I want to touch briefly on Them That Follow, which is, it's been out a little while. It's made by, again, a couple of people, Britt Poulton and Dan Madison Savage. And it is a movie about a religious community in Appalachia. I should call it a community, but it's a bunch of families who live in an area, and many of them subscribe to the same religion. And they are... they are snake handlers. They handle serpents. That is, they take this particular little mention in the Bible very, very seriously, that God will protect you if you handle serpents, and that is a way of showing your faith in God. So these people who are Pentecostalists, that's what they do. It is a highlight of their religious practice, handling these venomous snakes to show their faith in God and to demonstrate to themselves that they are protected by God. Now, this, of course, is just sort of background material, although it's a very important aspect of the movie. The movie kind of tells a sort of a love story, or even a couple of love stories, and not particularly smooth running love stories. The main character of the movie is a young woman, and everybody is waiting for the moment when she will accept the marriage proposal of a young man in the community, and then they will grow up, it is fully expected, and live exactly the kind of life that everybody else leads. They will be basically rural people and do some farming and do some this and do some that, and they will stay in the church, and they will be snake handlers, and they will do all the other things that everybody else in the area does. However, our young man, whose name is Mara, she is already in love with another young man who is a little bit of a rascal, and in fact it turns out that she is pregnant by him, and this is a secret. She is pregnant by one man, and not only is she expected to marry this other young man, but everybody is sort of champing at the bit. Come on, let's do this. Say yes to him. He really wants to marry you. He really wants to enter you with you into this kind of life that everybody else around here leads. Please do it. But the young woman, Mara, is reluctant for understandable reasons. First of all, she does not really love this young man whom she is expected to marry. And secondly, she is, as I mentioned, pregnant by somebody else. Now, I wish that the movie got a little bit more deeply into the religious aspects of its own story. That is very, very important to the movie. Everybody is involved in this, and of course, as you might expect, and this is not really a spoiler, yeah, there are times when people get bitten by these snakes. One person gets bitten by the snake, and nobody wants to bring them off to a hospital because that would be showing they didn't have full faith in God. So, the big question is this young man who is suffering horribly in this bed upstairs going to survive or not? So things like that do happen along the way, and I wish the movie got more deeply into that, helped to probe the psychology of that a bit more, and probe probe the sociology of it a bit more. In fact, the movie focuses more on this kind of love triangle with this young woman who is expected to marry one young man, and she's not completely averse to that, but who is already pregnant by another, and what's going to happen there. That's really what interests the movie, and the movie is more conventional because of that. Its very unconventional aspect is it's dealing with this aspect of a particular kind of Appalachian religion. The more conventional aspect is the love triangle business, and again, I wish that Them That Follow dealt more with what really make it unusual among the crop of movies that have come out in recent years. That said, Them That Follow is a very well-directed movie. It's a very, very well-acted movie, and it does deal with an interesting subject, even if it doesn't follow through on the implications of that interestingness quite as much depth as I would have hoped. Finally, The Nightingale. This is the movie for this week that has really getting the most attention. It was directed by Jennifer Kent, written and directed by Jennifer Kent. And she came out 2 or 3 years ago with a horror movie with a terrific title, The Babadook. It was a real horror movie, and it had to do with a children's book, among other things. And it's a very, very well-made, kind of low-budget, indie-style horror picture. Very, very well done, and it certainly got Jennifer Kent a great deal of attention as an emerging filmmaker with a lot of talent. So now she has followed up on that with this movie called The Nightingale. And it seems that critics are generally regarding this as even better than The Babadook. I disagree. I don't think that it is better than The Babadook. I don't think it's really quite as interesting, but it's a very, very harrowing movie. And in fact, when I went to a theater to see it just the other day, what did I find posted in the lobby? And I've never seen this before at this theater, which is an independent movie theater near where I live. But a warning, look out, this movie contains very graphic descriptions of sexual violence. And that is the truth. Very near the beginning of the movie, there is more than one really brutal rape. So look out for that. There's your warning, everybody, your content advisory. If you don't want to see a really brutal rape, then don't go to see The Nightingale. That gentle title sort of slightly disguises a movie that can be very violent in its content. However, once those horrible rapes take place, the victim, who is a young woman named Claire, goes out to seek revenge, and that is what The Nightingale is. It is a straight-out, pretty darn intense revenge movie. Now, the whole thing takes place in the early 19th century in Tasmania. Jennifer Kent comes from down under, and this movie takes place there. It takes place in Tasmania. And the person who raped her was a British officer who has been keeping her in captivity. She has been one of these young convicts who was transported off to Australia, Tasmania, along with her husband. Her sentence has been up for some time now, but she has still been kept prisoner, basically, because she has no way of escaping. The authorities have all the power in the area. So now she has been raped brutally, and she manages to get away just long enough to set out on this quest for revenge. And what we have her doing is tracking her rapist and his fellow soldiers, because he is a military officer, tracking him through the wilderness with the help of an Aboriginal man whose name is Billy. And Billy is the other main character of the movie. And he is played by an Aboriginal actor named Bekele Ganambar, and it is a sensational performance. I haven't mentioned that Mara is played by Aisling Franciosi, and she also gives an excellent performance. So the bulk of this movie is this long slog and trek and chase through the wilderness of Tasmania, while Claire and her Aboriginal helper, the only person who knows his way around that neck of the woods, they're trekking through wilderness, and again, all this takes place back around the 1820s. With his help, the two of them actually are just sort of slogging and trekking and traipsing through the wilderness while she seeks revenge on this officer who raped her and on the soldiers who are traveling with him. And he, of course, also has a tractor, and they run across various other people along the way. So I got to emphasize, this is not a horror movie. If anything, it's kind of a thriller, but what it really is a revenge drama. It's sort of a more modestly budgeted, more modestly produced Quentin Tarantino Tarantino movie. I say that because it's a revenge thriller set in Tasmania a long time ago. And the acting is very, very good, but I kept hoping that something would develop that was more than just the kind of thrills and chills of this revenge story. Yes, the movie pushes all the right buttons. You really want this young woman to get her revenge. You really want her to triumph over these awful people, this awful person, but also the others with them, some of whom are also awful, who have wronged her in such a desperate way. So in that sense, the movie kind of gets your adrenaline pumping. But and it's very well done. Your adrenaline gets effectively pumped. But I kept wishing there were more to the movie than this. Ultimately, it really is a story that just sort of stirs up, in a way, our best instincts because we are rooting for the underdog here, but in a way, our worst instincts because we're hoping that she will ultimately get the kind of horrible revenge that will properly pay back these people for the horrible things they did to her, and it never quite rises above that level. So The Nightingale, I think, is a good movie of its kind, but in a way, it's a missed opportunity. It could have been something more than just the kind of bloodthirsty revenge thriller that it turns out to be. And so that is my not, I hope, too bloodthirsty story this week, Joe.
Can't answer that because I haven't seen the films. Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Honeyland, Them That Follow, and The Nightingale.